You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. Pleasure to be joined by the great EJ Raddick. How are you, EJ?
Hello, great Don LaGreca. What's happening?
Well, what's happened is Rutherford.
By the way,
out.
I watched you and your brother the other
day. Oh, you did?
Going at it on, I guess, the YouTube thing. The thing that, you know, that's long overdue that you do something with Dave.
Right.
I mean, you know, you are kind of interestingly distinct personalities. So I think that was be entertaining for people. So
what
I watched
did you watch?
A little bit of it. I got a kick out of it. What? You guys were arguing about, I guess it was like a clip on Twitter that you guys were arguing about. Like, I guess you were trying to say that you took Dave to these movies right. when he was a younger guy, and Dave was saying, no, you didn't. And then you were like, kind of came clean, and you were like, you know, at 18, I really wasn't looking to hang out with my 15-year-old brother.
That's right. And
so, yeah, I mean, you know, but it was good. And Dave, I thought Dave made very, you know, he made his point very
he
well,
did.
And he moved on, you know.
So he's, that's
obviously,
what...
he still harbors some kind of ill will.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he doesn't want to let it go,
that
but
time.
That's, you know, younger brother syndrome. So go to LaGreca TV
I,
on YouTube
my
and subscribe.
Is simply just get over it. I mean, you know, you're like, I mean, he's one step away from being actually in the ring with these wrestlers. So,
it's
I mean,
true.
He's doing well.
He's
you
doing
know,
very,
get over
very
it,
well.
Move on. Your life is going well. You know, I see him posting pictures of his lovely wife. He seems to be very happy. I don't know why he would harbor this resentment towards you, who, other, you know, as far as I know, was a wonderful guy.
Yeah, well, thank you. But and he is a wonderful guy. And go to LaGreca TV on YouTube and subscribe. We got the latest video is Guilty Pleasure Movies.
Oh, okay.
Which makes it difficult because part of a Guilty Pleasure movie is a movie that you're embarrassed that you like. But Dave and I are not easily embarrassed, so it was difficult to come up with this because we don't care what people think.
Yeah, but apparently he was still frustrated about his childhood. So it was good. It was a good avenue for him to kind of vent those feelings to you and for you to kind of to air it out, so to speak.
Well, let's jump right in with both feet. We just literally found out moments ago that Jim Rutherford has resigned as general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins, citing personal reasons. And this seems like it's been like out of left field. Nobody saw this coming.
Yeah, I mean, I just got a note from my former partner, and now the Penguins play-by-play voice, Steve Mears. And his note was, this is what you said, like completely out of nowhere. And like he's right there in Pittsburgh, and he would have had some idea or some inkling, you would think, and none, zero. So we will have to wait and see. Jimmy is a... been around for a long time. He's in the Hall of Fame now. He's won multiple Stanley Cups with, won three cups with two different organizations, which I think is something that you could, that is really special and not something you see every day. And I just hope that this is not a health issue for Jimmy. I mean, the team has started off 4-2-1. I don't think they've played great, but they found ways to win. It's not something that would be performance related, I would imagine. But I just hope that Jimmy is, whatever the personal reasons are, I hope that he and his family are okay, and we'll probably find out more as we go. But it's you know, that's a big story on a kind of a sleepy Wednesday with only two games on the schedule.
Yeah, just out of nowhere. So we'll keep an eye on that. The other thing that I wanted to get into with you, and we'll kind of go around the league as we generally do, but Ranger fans are kind of fit to be tied here, and I'm getting inundated with tweets. Like, does Quinn have to go? Do they have to have a coaching change? And listen, I get that John Davidson didn't hire Quinn, so sometimes that always leads to speculation. And if this team doesn't go to the playoffs, it'll be, you know, three straight years of missing the playoffs for Quinn. I don't think it should happen. I think he's a good coach. I think there's a lot of things that are kind of beyond his control right now. But I can understand the fan base being frustrated. There's, you know, they were so disappointed in Toronto last year in the qualifying round against Carolina. And so far this year, they just, you know, they've been in games, you know, four consecutive losses by a goal. But, you know, right now they have the worst record in the league, and that's really disappointing to a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Kenny Danico this morning because he's doing our show today, and we were going back and forth, and he made a point of saying that he feels like the Rangers are not playing that bad. He said, you know, outside of the game, their first game when they got blown out by the Islanders, he goes, really, they could have won all those games, and they've had a lead in most of them, and they haven't been able to nail it down. Now, you look at their group, I mean, this is the youngest team in the league. I mean, the average age, according to The Athletic, is 25.6 years of age. So it's a young group. You think of the two of the forwards, Kako and Lafreniere. I mean, they're guys, they're both 20 or younger right there. You have Keandre Miller on the back end, who's played actually pretty well so far, and he's a young guy. I mean, this is a young team. And the goaltending has been, I would say, less than what they expected.
Right.
At this point, I would imagine those guys will get their games together and be a little bit more consistent. But, you know, it is interesting, right? When Henrik Lundqvist was there as kind of the guy in the safety blanket, you know, those guys could just play. Now they're the guys,
yeah.
You know, right? So, but they're, you know, when you go back to that Carolina series, Don, you mentioned it and being disappointed at that. I mean, I think their defense was kind of exposed a little bit for being a little bit soft around the edges and a little bit small still. And, you know, they brought in Miller, so that's add some size to the mix. And, you know, Tony D'Angelo got off to a bad start, and he's not a great defender. So, I mean, there's things that have to be fixed. And these are close games, and they haven't won. So I'm not ready to fire David Quinn. This has been it's a rebuild, even though it was a rebuild that was, escalated when you added the Panarins and you were able to get these high draft picks. But, you know, I just think it's going to take time. I said before the year done, I didn't think they were a top four team in this East, which is a tough division. I didn't see them making the playoffs. So and the fact that the Devils have gotten off to a good start and are playing really well and competitive, and right. The Sabres have some really talented offensive players. I mean, it's not going to be easy for the Rangers this year. Now, maybe they'll get it going and maybe they'll get into that mix of four. It's still very, very early, but I think you know, I'm not ready to write anybody off. I think this has got a lot of talented players there. They've got to tweak some things and figure out some things in certain areas of their group, and that's just going to take time. And if the fans want to flip out about it, I guess that's what fans do. But, you know, for me, you got to be patient.
But what's scary about the format is we talk all the time, EJ, about divisional games being worth 4 points. So every game of your regular season is worth four. So you dig yourself a hole. Yeah, there's 50 games left, but you still have 8 versus Philadelphia, 8 versus Washington, 8 versus Boston. And, you know, you keep leaving points on the table. You know, how are you supposed to make them up when somebody is going to be taking advantage of that because they're all playing each other. You're not going to get one of those situations where on any given Thursday, everybody in the division lost. No, somebody is going to win.
Yeah. You know, somebody's going to win.
Yeah,
four teams are going to win, and four teams are going to lose.
Yeah, and that's what's scary. And you look at Pittsburgh. I don't think Pittsburgh's a great team. I think Pittsburgh's getting on the back end. Nope. But, you know, they had 4 straight wins. They squeezed out a point last night. As you said, New Jersey's off to a good start. I don't know how sustainable it is, but, again, they're getting some good play. They're going to get Hischier back. They're going to get Bratt back. They were going to get Blackwood, who's, you know, saved their bacon early in the year, back from COVID. You know, we could be sitting here in a couple of weeks and just saying, you know, these bottom feeders in the division could be cooked.
Yeah. Hey, like I said, I guess, Donnie, if I had felt the Rangers were a top four team in the division, maybe I would be more apt to be disappointed at the start. But I never saw them that way. I saw them as a team that's still rebuilding and still, like I said, they're still like Keandre Miller has just come in. Like, he's playing in his first 6 games in his National Hockey League career, and he's got off to a pretty good start.
That's
great news. Do you think there are not going to be some bumps along the way for Keandre Miller?
They're going to be.
I mean, Alexis Lafreniere has no points in 6 games, and this is the same exact thing that happened to Jack Hughes last year. No points in 6 games, right? How many times in his life do you think he's gone 6 games without getting a point?
Never.
Never, right?
Never.
Like, how many times has he gone 2 games? Well, probably never. I mean, that's why he was the first overall pick. This is a men's league. These are big boys. They're strong. And, like, it takes time to adapt, and you just don't come in unless you're Connor McDavid and you're kind of Superman and dominate. It just doesn't happen. There's a lot to learn and lot to, you know, to kind of, it takes a lot to assimilate and to get to that level. Lafreniere is going to be a really good player. Kako, I think, is still going to be a really good player. You know, Miller looks like he's off to a good start. You know, Adam Fox came in and he was good last year and he's had a good start to the season. I mean, again, going back to what Dano said, the games have been close. A save here, a save there, maybe a better defensive play somewhere along the way. They just had some hiccups that have cost them games. And that's part and parcel of being a young team. And also, the other thing I would say, Don, is let's face it. I love Panarin as a player. He's a great player. He may never have as good a season as he had last year. I mean, and that's okay. Like, he could still have 80 points over the course of an 82-game schedule and still have a lot of impact and have a great year. But he had, like, he might have had his career year last year. And thus, maybe Ryan Strome will never play as well as he played last year. Right. And, you know, maybe Mika Zibanejad, who had the 43 goals, and even that was in less games, he was hurt. Maybe Mika's a really good center, but maybe he's never going to score at that kind of pace again. You don't know. So they have a lot of good players there. I think they have some things to sort out within their group. I think their goaltenders have to be a little bit better. They have to defend a little bit better. But these are all things that happen with young hockey teams. And, again, for me, I go back to the simple thing. I didn't think they were a top four team in this division to begin with. But I love the trajectory of their group. I think they're going to be a really good team for a really long time, as long as they don't screw it up by panicking when they don't need to.
Right. Are you concerned about the Islanders?
I would be more concerned about the Islanders, to be honest with you. I mean, they go into Washington last night, and the Capitals are missing four players that are on COVID protocol. Tom Wilson is a game-time decision and can't play. Late in the game, Lars Eller, who has been moved up to their second center, he gets hurt. He's out of the game for the last 10 minutes. And the Islanders end up getting beat off the rush in the last minute. I mean, that's the Islanders of 5 years ago. They get beat off the rush in the last 5 minutes. And so Barry Trotz wasn't happy about it. I'm kind of wondering why Leo Komarov is on the ice in the last minute of a game like that, because he got beat up the ice by Justin Schultz. So, you know, if I'd be more concerned about them. The Islanders are more like, this is a team that went to the conference final last year. I mean, the Islanders have higher expectations. And, you know, they've had some bumps already in these first, you know, they're a team I do expect to be in the top 16 or top four teams in this division. And they're a team that if they don't get their act together, you know, they could be looking up early and be in find themselves in a tough spot. They're not scoring a lot of goals. I mean, they came into last night's game 1.8 goals per game. That was 31st in the NHL. And if I'm not mistaken, there's only 31 teams.
Right.
So, you know, they've got to find a way to get more offense and you know, they can't afford losses like that. When you have a team like the Capitals, who are sitting there, by the way, 4-0-3, so Peter Laviolette in his first year has been finding ways to get this team going, and, you know, even with all kinds of problems with guys out, that's a game you really have to take advantage of your opponent, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, they didn't do it. Toronto rolling along as they pick up another one-goal victory over Calgary, so you got to like what they're doing. Montreal, even though they haven't played in a while, the only other team besides Washington not to lose a game in regulation. That North is going to be just crazy, right? I mean, they just I think I said to you that I just haven't had the guts to do it of just betting the over in every game in that division. And I would think by the end of the year, I think I'd make money.
You might. You get
Winnipeg and Edmonton together, the goals are just raining.
I mean, I don't know what the number is going to be, but it's got to be, you know, it's got to be 7, right? 7.5, I would think. Well,
it's never more than 6.5 in the over-under, so, you know, you got to feel pretty good about that every game.
Yeah, well, they may have to up the ante for those two teams. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to more Toronto-Montreal games, because Montreal looks much the best team in the league right now in watching their games, and Toronto doesn't look too shabby either. So they played on opening night, and they had a terrific game that went to overtime. I thought Montreal kind of let the Leafs off the hook in that one a little bit. But I'm really looking forward to those teams playing you know, the rest of their schedule this year. I guess they play 9 or 10 times, and they've only played once so far. And I'm looking forward to any game that the Calgary Flames are involved in, because Matthew Tkachuk will have a feud with 6 other teams by the end of the season. I mean, he had it going with Toronto. They play a bunch of games more. He will get into it. I'm sure he'll probably get into it with his own brother when Ottawa and Calgary play their game. So, you know, I'll be curious to see what happens there, because Calgary made a big upgrade with their goaltender, and I thought they were going to be better. And now they have these back-to-back losses to the Leafs, which were tough one-goal losses. So they got to get back on the right track.
Yeah, you got to find a way to get points in those types of games. And
oh, yeah.
Kind of like with the Rangers, we're saying. Like, you get all these one-goal losses, and you give up goals late in games. That's gonna kill you. You know, that point that you lose, or the opportunity to get the two, that's where it's going to kill you.
You know, Donnie, think about this in that division, right? Like for the Rangers. Every single game, like the Buffalo Sabres are life and death last night. Like, they're looking at that game like they need to win. Like, the Sabres, the Rangers at least have had a run of really good teams until they went to the rebuild a couple of years ago. The Buffalo Sabres, it's been a disaster.
Yeah.
So they're life and death to win that game. So that's just one game on the schedule. Now they got to play them again. Like, you know, or if you play the New Jersey Devils, they're the same way. They know the playoffs started already. Them, and they're trying to get to the top four. They have to grab every point possible. So there's so much urgency in these games right now. And you know, when you have a young team, these are the things that can happen. So anyway, we'll see. It's going to be incredibly tight in all these divisions because all these games are tough. Look at out west, LA. They lost their first two games, and now you know they've been playing way better. When you look at their roster, you're not overly impressed. But they're 3-1-2 or 3-0-2. Since the something along those lines, I guess, or you know, 3-2, something along those lines, since the heartbreaking overtime losses to Minnesota back to back to start the season.
Yeah, they've actually played well, and they'd be in if the season started today. Yeah, they're 3-2-2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've done a great job after those two losses of finding a way to continue to get points. And they've got 8 points in 7 games, and it's looked pretty good. Mm-hmm. Emotional night in Vegas for Pietrangelo playing against his old team. Did get a point. And what was a kind of a strange game with all the coaches in protocol for Vegas.
Yeah, that was odd. That came down late. I know I was doing the 6 to 7 show when that news broke. And, you know, fortunately, Kelly McCrimmon has been a guy that's coached a lot in his career in the Western Hockey League. And so he's familiar with running a bench. And they had the American Hockey League coaches come in. I think their American League team is in Henderson, which is not too far from Las Vegas, so they were able to staff it up, but not ideal. And you know, they got behind early, and Jordan Binnington was terrific in that game, and I think he was really the difference. Jordan Kyrou had another fantastic goal. For people who haven't seen Jordan Kyrou play yet, he's got a lot of speed, and I think he was a second round pick a couple years ago, and the Blues have found a spot for him in their group, and he's, you know, he's had some really nice plays early in the season, and he was kind of fighting off Pietrangelo and just kind of held him off and beat him down the wing and came in front and just beat Robin Leonard. So that's a heck of a matchup. That division, those three teams, right, whenever they play, Vegas, St. Louis, Colorado,
right,
going to be fun to watch because those are three really good teams.
And Colorado puts up a touchdown on San Jose. I just wonder what this does to a Shark team. You know, they're playing exclusively on the road. Their first home game will be later in the week in Arizona. I wonder what that does to a team.
Yeah, that's a great question, Don. It's hard to know. I mean, the good thing is they have a veteran group of players. And, you know, when you think about Burns and Carlson and Couture and some of the guys, the Vlasic that they have in that group. So it's a veteran group. But I look at their team, they're kind of two teams in one. They got these veterans that are highly paid guys that are, some of them are, you know, and really, you know, they have to kind of get it done now mode. When you think about Burns and Carlson, I mean, Carlson's $11.5 million for crying out loud. And he's kind of struggled off the start, and they're going to have him for a long time. For me, San Jose better try to make something happen this year and try to get into the playoffs and see if they can, you know, make a push, because it's not going to get any better. They're going to have to move some of those guys out. I wouldn't be surprised to see Brent Burns, for example, be on the expansion list because they can't put a certain guys on. Like, Carlson has a no move. Vlasic, for some reason, has a no move. Guys with no moves can't go on that list. So a guy like Burns, you know, he doesn't have that. He's got a limited no trade. He can go on that list. So the San Jose Sharks have been a really strong organization for a long time. They got close when they went to the cup final, I guess it was in 16 against the Penguins,
right,
and they weren't able to make it happen. And, you know, teams that are like that, like the Rangers were in that mode, and this is why I give their group credit. They just decided, hey, they sent out the letter, we're rebuilding, and they went down that path because they realized they could continue to be competitive, but not to the point where they could win. And San Jose has tried to keep this fire burning for as long as they possibly can. And they, when you do that, you make moves, and sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. And I think the San Jose Sharks are going to have to take a good long look in the mirror after this season and really assess what the next play is, because they've got guys under contract. I don't think you can move the Carlson contract. I don't think you can move the Vlasic contract. So these are going to be some real challenges for Doug Wilson and that group out there. But in saying that, again, they've had a really good team for a lot of years. And these are the cycles we go through. That's why when you win, when L.A. won twice, right, now they're rebuilding, like, the fans have that to grab onto.
Yeah.
But for San Jose, they didn't get there. For the Rangers, they didn't get there. They got close. They got to the final. They lost. And so, you know, it's tough to handle, but at some point in time, you have to look in the mirror and say, hey, we got to rebuild this thing. And the Rangers have done that, and the Sharks have yet to make that decision, but I think they're coming very close to doing that.
And, you know, it's been strange for Dallas and Florida, right? They've played only three games, but they've won all three games that they played. Dallas has been, you know, great. And you just wonder how that's going to affect probably Florida a little bit more, because that's the team that you're going to be trying to battle. I like Dallas's team. I don't think last year's cup run was a fluke. But they're going to be playing a lot of games coming up, right? I mean, you're playing four or five games less than everybody else in your division. Eventually, you're going to be playing a lot of hockey that's going to probably bring you back down to earth. Carolina, too.
Yeah, and maybe in both of those cases, especially in Dallas, where they knew right from the start of the season they were going to be, you know, kind of behind the eight ball. Florida played a couple of games and didn't play, and they've been back at it now. But the importance of getting off to a good start, because you're right. I mean, injuries are going to be a factor. There could be other, you know, COVID-related circumstances that take players out of the lineup. So, you know, I think that it's paramount for those clubs to get off to that good start. Dallas's power play has been, like, ridiculous. I mean, I think they have 9 power play goals in 3 games. They had 8 against Nashville in their 2 games with the Predators, and you know, they had 1 against the Red Wings last night, and it took them about 8 seconds to score. So their power play has been lights out good. So that division is an interesting one, right? Because we figure Tampa Bay is going to win it at some point, right? They're off, you know, they have the best talent on paper, but after that, it's kind of a scramble. You know, Carolina hasn't been able to play, so they're another team. They're 2-1. We haven't seen them for a while. They're hoping to get back out there tomorrow night against Florida. So, you know, I expect them to move up the ranks. I think Chicago and Detroit, you know, while they've been more competitive than I might have imagined, particularly Chicago, I see them as kind of the bottom two teams. And then it's a fight for between the 6 teams for 4 spots. And, you know, the fact that Dallas and Florida have been able to put those 6 points in the bank is really good for both of them. And Florida had a terrific win last night because they rallied in the final seconds to tie and then won the shootout. So, you know, these are points, like you said it, you don't get them back. And that's a 2-point swing for Florida and Columbus, right? Because, or maybe even a 4-point swing. If Columbus can hang on there, they get both points. Florida gets nothing. So, you know, that's what's going to be intriguing about the year, because there's just, you're playing the same teams over and over again. And as you mentioned at the start, Don, you know, there's nobody, you're not going to benefit points-wise. Somebody's winning and somebody's losing in those divisions every night.
Yep. It's going to be difficult to make up ground for sure. You ready for some tweets?
Yeah. Yeah, let's go.
All right. Sam Diaz says, gentlemen, besides a few missteps early in his career, why is Josh Hosang not in the NHL? He didn't even get an invite to Islanders training camp. I've seen him play. He's more skilled than many fourth liners in the league.
Well, he's not a fourth liner, though. That's the thing. I mean, he's kind of a top six forward to me, and he's got a lot of skill. And I would like to see Josh get an opportunity to play in the National Hockey League. The Islanders have owned his rights. I guess nobody has seen fit to make a trade that Lou Lamoriello is willing to make at this point. I believe Josh is over in Europe playing right now, and I believe he was loaned over there. But, again, I could be mistaken about that, but I think that's accurate. He's got a lot of skill. There's no question about it. And I think he's a more mature kid now than he was when, you know, he had his first opportunity at the Islanders. It's hard to kind of break into that Islanders group when there's any question about your defensive game. I mean, you're going to have to play that structure that Barry Trotz wants. So it would probably be great for Josh to get a fresh start somewhere else with a team that's kind of rebuilding that could use a player of that skill to come in. But, you know, even in that circumstance, if for Josh's sake, I would hope that he would go to a team that has an experienced head coach that would work with him and try to, like, take the good, which is all that offensive skill, and then try to mitigate against the the defensive play and some of the negatives in this game, because all players are like that anyway. I mean, look at Matt Barzell with the Islanders. There's a great offensive player. Is he going to win a Selke? No. But, you know, you mitigate against some of that. They play a good structure, protects them a little bit, and you take advantage of all the good things he brings. Hope that Josh gets a chance someday, and that way we'll find out if he can get it done or not. But right now he's kind of on the treadmill.
Right. Chris says there's quite a bit of talk on Philadelphia radio about Curt Schilling not making the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame yesterday and how his off-field comments hurt his cause. Does EJ have a vote for the NHL Hall of Fame? If so, how much should one's actions off the ice factor into their Hall of Fame vote?
Okay, well, first thing is no, I do not. The NHL Hall of Fame is done with a panel of, I believe it is 19 individuals, and it is done in the ultimate secrecy, where we don't find out really anything about the process. And Don, you know my feelings about this. We've talked about it going years back. I don't like a process where there's no transparency. So there is that. As for what happens off the field, you know, I think every case is probably different. I think the cases in baseball where we've had issues of steroid use, I think that's something certainly to consider, because call it what you want, but at the end of the day, if it's not legal to do it in the league, it's cheating. So, you know, that's something that they'll have to figure out, the baseball writers and the people in the baseball circles have to figure out at some point. To this point, they haven't put those guys in. In hockey, because of the secretive nature of that and because of the culture of hockey, I think it would be trickier to get in if there was any kind of significant off-field issue, just because the culture in this game is different, as you know, Donnie, and I think it's hard just to be individualistic, so to speak, as a player and speak out and, you know, be a little bit different, you know, and that's I think it's to its detriment, because we want different voices and different thoughts, and, you know, we ask for them, and then when we get them, we're not happy, right? So so I would say that, you know, in hockey, I think it would probably be difficult, depending upon what the circumstances were, but you know, the Curt Schilling case is kind of a completely different one, and I guess everybody has their own opinions about that, so I won't weigh into that, but, you know, we'll see what plays out there next. And but that's the process in hockey, is that it's a very closed society thing with 19 people, and there are names that you know that are in that, like, you know, in the past, John Davidson. I think John Davidson is on it now, but it rotates on a certain number of years, and guys are in and out. I think Pierre Maguire has been on it. I think Bob McKenzie has been on it. There's former players that have been on it. And so it's kind of a mix of different media and different former players and former Hall of Famers and executives. So that's what it's made up of.
Right. And you're right. Hockey's just not the game where a lot of guys stand out in that way. And make no mistake, too, with Schilling. Yeah. Schilling is more than just political differences. He has been downright hateful with a lot of his tweets and a lot of his comments and things.
Yeah.
So that goes beyond.
Hey, listen, I don't dig him. I wouldn't vote for him. I'll give my personal opinion. No, I would never vote for him, but that's just my opinion.
But it's not like, he's a Republican, so let's keep him out, or, he's a conservative, let's keep him out. That would be wrong, but I think there's been some things. He got fired at ESPN for some of the things that he did. And also, you know, there's a ceremony. There's a speech that you have to give, and you wonder, would that speech be used to forward some of that thinking, and you just want to try to avoid all that. But, you know, hockey players aren't known to do that. That's probably going to change, EJ, though, over time, because I think athletes are asked to be a little bit more political, have opinions. So I think that whole team aspect, not being an individual, not standing out, that might go away slightly. Maybe not to the degree that it is in the NBA, but you saw in the bubble that there were players that were not afraid to take a stand. So that may change over time.
Hey, I'll give you a quick, because I was able to do this while we were chatting here. Here's just some of the names. John Davidson is the chairman of the Hall of Fame committee. David Branch, who was involved with the Canadian junior hockey. Brian Burke, Campbell-Pascal. Mark Chipman, who was involved with the Winnipeg Jets management group, Bobby Clark, Mark DeFoy, who is a writer in Quebec, Michael Farber, who's been a longtime media member, Ron Francis, a Hall of Famer, Mike Gartner, Anders Hedberg, Yari Curry, Igor Larionov, Pierre Maguire, Bob McKenzie, Mike Murphy, who's been in the league operations, David Boyle, and Luke Robitaille. Those are the names on the selection committee, and that's how it works. And I guess it's three-year terms. I won't get into all that. You can look it up online. But, you know, in case you're wondering who these people are, those were some of the names that we have there that they get to vote. And like I said, it's a very secretive process, which I wish would change.
Yeah,
but
I wish that would definitely change, too.
I don't get the sense that's
going
to happen anytime soon.
Thanks for adjusting the schedule. We appreciate that.
Yeah. No, hey, listen, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. I know you have a lot going on. I have a lot going on, but we make it happen every week. Which is
We're
nice.
Busy people. We try to make it happen once a week. So
that's right.
I will
all
talk
right.
to you very
it's
soon, my
friend.
Always
great to talk to you. All right. All right, buddy.
All right, take care. That's the great EJ Raddick. Check him out on the NHL Network Monday through Friday. Couple of games tonight, 7:30, Blackhawks and the Predators. Chicago 2-3-2, while the Predators are 3-3-0. And at 8 o'clock tonight, the Senators and the Canucks from Vancouver. Vancouver's just had a little bit too much of Montreal. They're under 500 at 3-5-0. Three of their games have been against the Canadiens, and Ottawa 1-4-1. They are tied with the Rangers for the worst record in the league. That's why there's panic with the Blue Shirts. Did finally get in touch with Leah Hextall, so she is going to be joining us at some point, probably next week. She's a little busy with her new job, so she can't commit to every single week, but Leah is going to be back in the fold for Game Misconduct, so we're looking forward to that. You want to get in touch with me, the best way to do that is at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. We'll have some fun throughout the entire year. Thanks to EJ Raddick. Thanks to you for listening. Back with you again on Friday. This was the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.